We've been in a series on the feasts of the Lord, and we will continue that this morning. But present day application and how Jesus fulfilled these for us. And up toward the top, we see the first three in the first month of Nisan is Passover, unleavened bread, and the sheaf of first fruits. And you recall how Jesus fulfilled all of those. Then the third month is Pentecost. How many have had a personal Passover? You've met the Passover lamb through the blood of Jesus. Then we have a Pentecost. Have you had a personal Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's the third month. And then there's an interval where we grow in our walk with the Lord. And we come to the end, seventh month of Tishri. There's the sacred calendar, and that's this one. And the seventh month has the final wrap-up of spring feasts that have not yet been fulfilled. Trumpets, atonement, fall feast, rather. Trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. And Feast of Trumpets we spoke about last week, and we're going to speak about the Feast of Atonement this week. How many have ever heard the name Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Kippur. That changes the meaning altogether of the Hebrew. But it's Yom Kippur. And this morning, we're going to speak some about atonement. An atonement is where two are made one, if you will. At one-ment. Look at each other and say, at one-ment. At one-ment. That's what it's about. Have you ever been separated from someone that you loved, so fraught with difficulty in the relationship, and you long deeply for restoration? Have you ever experienced that? The pain, the difficulty, the agony, and no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to build a bridge. That's what it's like in our relationship with the Lord when we don't have Jesus. The Bible says sin has separated you from God. And how many are glad that Jesus built the bridge and healed that separation? He gave us atonement. And so like as with all of the other feasts this morning, we're going to talk some about what they do in Israel, but especially about the fulfillment of Jesus. And today's topic, by the way, is way too big to cover in just one message. But this is the most important time of the year in the Israeli sacred calendar. This year, sundown of October 7 to sundown of October 8 is the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. One day each year, and only on this day each year, only the high priest would take blood into the Holy of Holies and atone for Israel's sin. Only one day per year could only this high priest enter in. Only one day per year was the access full. To go before the Ark of God, if you recall the tabernacle of the Lord, or Moses' tabernacle, or even Solomon's temple, if you will, if you recall, they had the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was contained especially the Ark of God's Covenant. Now, some of you might only relate to a movie that was big about 25 years ago, where it was the search of, not Noah's Ark, but come on. Are you all alive? How many remember a movie? Who played in that movie? Yeah, okay, you're alive. All right, very good. All right, so to go before the Ark of the Lord, though, unworthily in the Holy of Holies, meant certain death. The priest's robes had bells at the borders. And it is said by some that when Israel got so far away from God, that on this day each year, they would wrap a rope around the high priest, because God was going to certainly smite him dead. And they had to have a rope tied around him so they could pull the high priest out of the Holy of Holies. How many would have liked that job when Israel was far away from God? Okay. Yeah. How about, Lord, you accept my assistant? Here I am, bless my assistant. How many of you believe that as a nation and as a church, we're far away from God as Israel was? How many know that we need the atonement of the Lord? We need the power of God to move again. We need the presence of God and the blood of Jesus to cover and to cleanse. And Jesus did it for us. for us. Let's go to the Scriptures, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn there, I'm going to look at verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, reading from the New King James. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, let us hold fast our confession, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet, say it with me please, without sin. Verse 16, boom it out with me. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, they understood at the writing of Hebrews the feasts and the terminology, the sacrifices and the tabernacle and the temple. They understood what was going on. But in the New Testament times, we Gentiles don't always fully understand what was happening. But as we study the feasts, you can see the meanings and as they go before the Lord as the high priest, what does all this refer to? Now, there's been a lot of ground between the time that Israel committed these things and kept the feast and were commanded to do so. Since Moses went into the mount, received the Ten Commandments and the vision of the tabernacle, and since Moses received the vision of Aaron's priesthood and the sacrifices and how they were to conduct themselves. A lot of time has transpired in between, and there's some understanding that we can probably glean. How many think you could probably grow in understanding a little bit more about the Scripture? Yeah. All right, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 28. And this is where we find out about the feast of Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur. Leviticus 23, 26 through 28. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. And you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the, say it with me please, Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9. Leviticus 25, verse 9. For you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout your land. Now remember, on the Feast of Trumpet Day, 10 years previous to this date, they blasted the trumpet. It was the call to get ready to meet with God. Calling to get ready to have a set-apart time where you come and humble yourself before God. How many think, not only America, but probably you and me, could use a little humility in our walk with God as we cry out to Him for help? And as we thank Him for the help He's given us. Walk humbly with your God, the Bible says. So, there's a setting of a time where they came nationally. This is the only feast day where they fasted as a national fast before the Lord. The Day of Atonement. What were the characteristics of the day? It was a day of holy convocation. A day of fasting, afflicting the flesh and subduing the fleshly appetites. It was a day to afflict the soul. The Bible talks about this day being a day of fasting and prayer. Israel humbled herself in national repentance and humiliation as they sought the Lord. And even recently in this country, we had what's called the Solemn Assembly, where they came and stood before the Lord and cried out and wept and prayed before the Lord and listened to the reading of the Scriptures, and their hearts responded to God. Pastor Sherry talked about it this morning. How many know that it's difficult times that bring us closer to Him? Don't you wish it was different? Just at the high mountaintops. That's when we get closest to Jesus. We don't need any more valleys in our life. Turn to each other and say, brother, sister, you don't need no more valleys. But in the Bible, in the Scriptures, anyone of Israel who would not humble themselves to seek their God, who refused to afflict his or her soul with fasting and seeking God, anybody who refused it was cut off from Israel. That's powerful. Cut off from the people of God. Look in the New Testament. 1 Peter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, we are partakers of his... Boom it out. There's a positive word, really going to gain a lot of people talking about the sufferings of the Lord, right? The sufferings. Philippians 3, verse 10. We participate in the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. We judge ourselves so we won't be judged. We read those scriptures every time in communion. But don't you know when the difficulties come, finally we hit our knees if we don't right away, and we start crying out to God, God, what's all this about? Help me out here, I need you! And we're probably at that moment exactly where he wants us. We don't always know what the dealing's all about, but we know he's allowed them for a reason to bring us to himself. Closer to him than ever. All right. On this day, the Day of Atonement, what were the priestly responsibilities? Aaron's sons, if you recall the lineage of Aaron, the priesthood, Aaron's sons decided one day, we're going to go burn our own censers and bring our own incense, and we're just going to go charging right on into the Holy of Holies. How many remember that from your Bible? Okay. Anybody remember what happened to them? It was a biblical kaput. God did not allow that. God said no. He said, there's a certain way to approach me. That's why when man devises his own ways to get to God, it's not a blessed activity. Right? A lot of people, oh, you got the light in you. You don't need to surrender. You don't need a bloody lamb. I remember in college we were singing songs about the blood of the lamb. And I remember some other college students say, all you guys do is sing songs about bloody lambs around here. And you don't need to do that, do you? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because he bore our sin and shed his blood. Can we talk? There's a movement afoot, and you need to be aware of it. It's in the church. And the Bible, when you go to the book of Revelation, talks about the mother of harlots and a church that reveals herself as a harlot that spins away from God and away from God's purposes and tries to do its own thing religiously. How many know there's a lot of people that would feel a lot more comfortable if you would only just stop talking about Jesus? If you'd only stop telling me that I need to repent of my sins because I'm just fine with God just as I am. There's a whole movement afoot in some very big evangelical churches where they say it's just fine to, in that morning service, read from the scripture and pull out the book of Quran and read to God's people from the book of Quran as well. How many know that's error and that's mixture? And how many understand they're not reading the New Testament scriptures about Jesus being the Son of God, going to the cross of Calvary and rising again in your fellow neighborhood mosque? Listen, there's not enough time for the people of God to read the scriptures, much less hear the scriptures read in church, much less water it down with every other book. What's next in the Church of Jesus? You're not going to get to God based on what you and I devise to consider our own best plan. We get to God based on what? His Word. We got to be what He wants us to be. You may not like it when I preach it, but I've got to preach the Word of God. Someone say amen. Amen. Look at me and say, preach it, Pastor Kev. We want you to preach it. It's not always comfortable, and isn't that the point? The Bible is the plumb line up which and against which we measure our lives, me as well as you. And we look and we go, hey, you're leaning the wrong way there, buddy. So what do? I repent and set the ship right again. Turn around, go back right with God. But here's where we find it. So we need to be more committed than ever to the Word of God. Are you? Yes. All right, so Aaron's sons tried to approach God any way they wanted, and God didn't allow it. All right, so what was the priestly responsibility on that day? There was something called the golden censer. He was to bring, or actually the censer was in the Holy of Holies, and he was to bring handfuls of incense into there to throw on the burning embers in the censer. He would come within the veil, put the incense on the fiery coals, and a cloud of incense would ascend, covering the ark of glory. Without that, don't come. And the Bible says the incense speaks of prayer and worship. David said in Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before you as incense. You read in the book of Revelation 5, verse 8, and chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Rising incense speaks of the ascending prayer and the worship and the prayer and worship of the saints who love God and come before Him. Prayer, intercession, approaching God with humility is crucial as we come before Him on the Day of Atonement. Did you separate your heart to the Lord this morning? As you get up, as I get up in the morning, I go to my knees at the side of my bed and I dedicate my life one more time to Jesus and thank Him for a new day. Did you thank God for a new day today? And did you say, Lord, I want to be what You want me to be, and thanks for the cleansing blood, and I just thank You that I get to bring the incense of prayer and worship and get to go worship God with my buddies this morning. Look around at your buddies. Say, thank God I get to worship God with you. So, the golden censer, and then there was something else. What were the priestly responsibilities? There was the washing of water. The priest, the scripture says, if you look at the Day of Atonement, the priest had to be completely clean to make atonement on behalf of the people of Israel. And you know, those priests weren't perfect. And the Bible shows us that they were washed. They washed their entire bodies with water before they put on new garments of linen in order to go into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus fulfills this perfectly. Because as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who's clean, He makes atonement for us. And then how many know the scripture says, we are washed by the water of the Word. So there's a washing that takes place as we come before Him. Then He wears linen garments. No personal sweat caused by woolen garments. They would wear garments of wool. None of your own sweat is making it into the Holy of Holies. You're not getting there by your own efforts. You're not getting there by anything except through the blood of Jesus. Turn to each other and say, the blood of Jesus is the only way. This shows us the priest who would change his garments, be washed, put on the linen garments, and it shows us a picture of Jesus setting aside His majestic, glorious accoutrements, taking on Himself the form of the lowest servant, becoming like a man, just like you and me, who bore our sins upon Himself. Then He atones for us. And the Bible says He sits down and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's wearing His majestic robes again. Just like the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, wearing the linen garments, come back out and change again into His glorious robes. Fourthly, the priest came alone. The high priest was to come alone and bring nobody with him. Only Jesus can atone for you. Not Jesus plus. Not Jesus plus your sweat. Not Jesus plus your works. Only Jesus. And then they came within the veil. The tabernacle of Moses, the temple, the outer court, holy place, most holy place. We've talked about those things before. But the ark of God's presence was in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and it was into this chamber only the high priest, one day a year, could come. Come to the New Testament. Remember, the veil of the tabernacle was a divider between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There was holiness. There was a barrier between God and you. Sin has, what? Separated you from your God. The wages of sin is? Only through the shedding of blood is there the remission of sins. The veil of the tabernacle. Watch Leviticus 16, verses 12 through 14. Leviticus 16, 12 through 14. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. Verse 13, he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony. Lest he say it with me, please. You think God's casual about all this? He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Let's talk about what atonement means. Leviticus 16, verse 6. Leviticus 16, verse 6. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house. Now, the word atonement is the Hebrew word kafar. Say it with me, kafar. And it means to cover. And it means to expiate, to condone, to placate, or to cancel. It's translated many different ways. It's also translated pitch. How many remember Moses' little basket that he was put in was covered with pitch, which is the word kafar, an atonement. God used him to teach the people of Israel about atonement, didn't he? Someone say amen. All right. So we go and we see, what is this? The word pitch is for a watertight basket, something to expiate, something to cancel. It can't be your work and mine. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Wait a minute. I'm a nice guy. I'm not a sinner. If you're in the painting business, they repaint you thinner. So, yeah, we're all sinners, saved by grace. But there's a way we have to take care of this. Well, I can do it myself. How many have ever thought, I got this, I can take care of it myself? Oh, come on, there should be every hand in the place almost. There are some areas of your life where you think you've got it. But if you've got the nail in your hand and you've got the spikes, it'll be very painful, but you might be able to drive the spikes in through your feet on that cross, right? You know you deserve to die, but you'll cover it yourself. You don't need this Jesus business. So you get the spikes through your feet. And then you might be able to get one more spike over into that wrist, right? You might just be able to do it. I got this. I can do it myself. Thank you. Okay, what you going to do with the free hand flopping around? Take the nail. Nails out. Well, wait a minute. You can't get that last one, can you? We need him. Only Jesus can deliver us. Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Out of the message, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. There's no one. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, please read it with me, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Out of the New Living. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Please read it with me. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, when you surrender to Jesus as your final sacrifice for sin, when you receive His blood cleansing and atonement, and that's ongoing, by the way, it's not just initial salvation. How many know you need the blood of Jesus every day in your life? Look at what you can do now because of His blood. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, reading out of the New King James, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest. See the whole analogy, the whole perspective. The Old Testament feast, the Old Testament sacrifices fulfilled in Jesus. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. The washing of the water of the Word, the laver, all of the things where the priest would be washed, and now as New Testament believers, we are washed. Read it out of the New Living with me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of, say it with me please, the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Through the veil? Wait a minute. The high priest alone could go in there. Only once a year. But what did God do when He saw the blood? Matthew 27, verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn in two, and miraculously, He opened the avenue for us to see Him face to face. As for me, I get as close to Him as I possibly can. Say it with me again. As for me, I get as close to Him as I possibly can. How can you do that? Aren't you glad that you live in the new covenant where you can come through the blood of Jesus? Wow. So what has He opened? Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made with human hands, not part of this created world, with His own blood. Not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more, say it with me, how much more, one more time, how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So what's it mean to us now? Let us, therefore, come boldly. Say it with me. Let us, therefore, come boldly. One more time. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. At one moment, Jesus makes us one with God and heals the division as He delivers us from sin through the blood shed at Calvary. I'll give you one final picture as we close. Leviticus chapter 16. Will you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16, please? Leviticus chapter 16. I want you to see it in your Bible, not just up there. Leviticus chapter 16, because I want you to know where this is when you are able to go home. Another few hours. Just kidding. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats. I want to give you a final picture. For the two what? One lot for the Lord. The other lot for the? Scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. Verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Verses 20 through 22. Leviticus 16, verses 20 through 22. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions. This is Yom Kippur we're talking about. Concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to the uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. On the Day of Atonement, two goats were selected. One was God's, and that goat that belonged to God died, and its blood was shed within the veil on the mercy seat, the Scripture shows us. This goat was fulfilled in the New Testament by with His blood, covering our sins, sprinkled on the mercy seat before the throne of God. So, it's good news, isn't it? Jesus sprinkles His blood. And secondly, the second goat is the scapegoat, the Bible tells us. It's called the goat of Azazel. Commentators agree that this too pictures Jesus, who took our sins from us, and somebody ought to be glad and say amen, as far as the east is from the west. So he sends that goat out. He lays the hands upon the head of that goat, imparting all the sins of Israel upon him. This is good news, the only kind of news they could have to cover their sins. And the sins would go out into the wilderness as far away as the east is from the west. Someone thank God that Jesus did it even better than that. The goat symbolizes Jesus in his death. He died to reconcile us, give us at-one-ment, atonement with God. Forgiveness is the scapegoat ministry. Forgiveness literally means, if you find the definition, to send away, to bear, or to carry away. Now, in Hebrew, the scapegoat, the word Azazel, means the goat for departure, the goat for going away. And some say this goat was taken by this person, this man selected, far away to a cliff and was pushed over the cliff to a very rocky, sharp, stony death. Church, not only are your sins separated from you, they're destroyed. They're cut off, they're destroyed, and thank God you're free before God because the atoning blood has washed you and the sins are separated far away and they're destroyed and gone. Someone say, thank God.
Thank God.
Are you glad for the message of atonement?
Yes.
Atonement. The Day of Atonement is what's pictured as Jesus fulfills it before God. Let's stand. And musicians, would you come, please? Key of D. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received atonement for your own life, God has it just waiting for you. Come and let's pray together. If you need healing in your body, come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you need a free release in the Holy Spirit, we'll be honored to pray for you. If you need prayer to send those sins far away, pictured by that goat that goes on into the wilderness, let's pray together. For bearing our sins upon yourself on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for bringing the atonement, the only activity and actions that could have happened to redeem us and atone for us, is the work you did for us on Calvary. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for your death, your burial, and resurrection. Now I pray you will bless these people today as we go forward today. Let us go forth in celebration for the blood of Jesus and the good news of what you've done for us. And all the people said, amen. Amen. If you want to come on up afterwards, if you need prayer, you come on up. God bless you. Have a fantastic week in the Lord.